The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After the 5,000 had eaten and were satisfied, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side toward Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And when he had taken leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was far out on the sea, and he was alone on the shore. When he saw that they were tossed about while rowing, for the wind was against them, about the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. They had all seen him and were terrified. But at once he spoke with them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." He got into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely astounded. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened. The Gospel of the Lord. God, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Here's a curious little phrase that we come across in this miracle story. Jesus meant to pass by them. Walking on the water, and he meant to pass by them. Why would Jesus go to all the trouble of walking on the water only just to keep on walking? You want to know why? It's not what you think. He meant to pass by them because he meant to show them who he really was. Let me explain. When that phrase is used, he meant to pass by them. Once again, that's one of those Old Testament references. Because there's a couple times in the Old Testament in which God reveals who he really is by passing someone by. First one's in the book of Exodus. And Moses is in terrible distress because the people had just made the golden calf. And out of anger, Moses had smashed the Ten Commandments on the ground. And God said he was no longer going to accompany his people. And Moses pleaded with God, "Please stay with us. Please, Lord, show me your glory." And God said, "Okay, I'll pass you by." And that's how he showed Moses his glory. And in the first book of Kings, there's the prophet Elijah, who just had this incident with the priests of Baal, and he crossed mighty Queen Jezebel, and he was running for his life, hiding in a cave, perfectly in distress and in need, and God decided to come and help him. To show him his glory, it says that he passed him by. Okay? So the apostles here are in distress as well, but it's not for what you think it is. You might think this is another one of these storm on the sea stories, but the truth of the matter is that in this passage of Mark, it doesn't mention a storm on the sea. It just says there was a strong wind and they had a hard time rowing the boat. Their distress was when they saw Jesus. Their distress was because they saw somebody walking across the water towards them in the middle of the night. And whenever people have an experience of the divine, their usual response is fear. And so our Lord tries to reassure them with this triple reassurance: "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And that middle passage there, "it is I," it's important to note that what he really says there is, "I am," which is the divine name that God had revealed to Moses in the burning bush. Walking on the water was a symbol of sin and chaos in the Old Testament. Think Noah and the Great Flood. Think Jonah running away from God, going into the storm, into the sea, and thrown into the water. So here's Jesus walking on the water, showing his perfect mastery of all things, even sin, even chaos. He intended to show them who he really was. But here's the message for the day. The apostles didn't learn who Jesus really was that day. They didn't learn because they didn't want to learn. The key phrase here is their hearts were hardened. This is not simple ignorance. This is willful blindness. They didn't see who Jesus really was because they were afraid, and they didn't want to see. They were afraid of what might happen if they really saw Jesus for who he really was, what might happen next. Now, one of the values of the apostles here in the Gospels is that they show us ourselves. We're very much like them. We don't want to see either. Very often, we don't want to know what God's will is. We're afraid what might happen if we really see what God asks of, who God really is. We're afraid of what he might ask of us next. I hope that sounds familiar to you. You see, a lot of times people think they really want God's will, and they don't realize that what they're actually doing is holding God's will away from them with one or with both hands, because they're afraid of what God might ask of them or what might happen next. I hope that sounds familiar to you. The truth of the matter is we're all like stubborn donkeys holding God's will at bay, and God is trying to drag us to himself, and we're kicking and screaming. But if that does sound familiar to you, that little prayer that I found helpful to say, I'd like to share it with you this morning. Very simple prayer. When you find that you don't really want God's will, or you're afraid of God's will, or you don't want to know what God might have to ask of you, just simply say this prayer: Lord, put your desire in my heart. Because if you can't want God's will, at least you can want to want God's will. Just say that simple prayer: Lord, you put your desire into my heart. And that prayer works for other people too. If you think somebody else is kicking against the goad, Lord, put your desire into their heart. Because the truth of the matter is that all of us are very much like these apostles. And what we need to do is take heed of our Lord's words today. First reading says that perfect love casts out fear. We need to take courage and be not afraid. Amen.